We're going to talk about something which is a little unusual, because when we speak about, when we talk, when we attend conference on Venezuela, everybody speaks about Chavez, Chavez politics, Chavez economic policy, Chavez democratic or undemocratic or authoritarian model. Nobody speaks about the opposition. And I think that the opposition has made a lot of mistakes in Venezuelan politics, but it has not been the consequence of the unlimited human stupidity. The consequence of a particular institutional design. And my argument in this presentation is that we have to understand what happened and what has happened in Venezuela as a consequence of this institutional incentive that the opposition has had to behave in the way they have done. So the first thing that I want to say, let's see.
Oh yeah, go fast.
Is that besides the fact that the opposition is a very important actor in Venezuelan politics, and the fact that the Venezuelan opposition has been demonized as a coup monger, divided, as inept. Some people say that the opposition will never win because the leader of the Venezuelan revolution is a kind of invincible titan that cannot be defeated. So besides these opinions, I would say that I will try to make the point that there is not abundant information about the failures of the opposition and the institutional reason for this failure. So I would say that the failures of the opposition can be explained based on two particular types of institutional variables. In the first place, I would say that there is a kind of multiple level game structure of the electoral authoritarian politics, and there is also some particular characteristics of the opposition party system that explain the opposition behavior and the outcomes of the opposition process of negotiation and political action. I'm going to give my contribution to the generalized confusion about the characteristics of Venezuelan politics. So Venezuela has been characterized as a radical populist regime, as a social-based democracy, as a dictatorship. I will use this definition of electoral authoritarianism to try to understand what happened in Venezuela. To summarize, I would say that Venezuela is a kind of regime in which is common in countries of our level of development, that combines authoritarian features with electoral features, but in a particular way of making a mixture between them. I would say that the electoral authoritarianism is a kind of regime in which elections are used to legitimize authoritarian procedures and authoritarian way of dealing with politics. So why Venezuela needs an electoral authoritarianism? Well, as Dan say, Venezuelan elections are basically plebiscitary. All the elections in Venezuela, even the election of our Miss Venezuela, is shaped by the influence of Hugo Chavez. Chavez is a candidate for every single position that is open in Venezuela. And you can see that in the elections. If you are invited one of these days as observer of one of our elections, if it is an open position at the less important level of the less of the most insignificant town in the country, Chavez will be the candidate of this position. So Chavez will be in the ads, Chavez will be the spot, Chavez will be the label used by his party to support their candidates. So Chavez is the most important, the most important product that the Chavista party used in the electoral market. The government manipulates electoral and campaign law, particularly the not only the electoral law, but also the financing, the founding law. The opposition is almost starving nowadays because of the founding law. In Venezuela, Venezuela is the only country in Latin America and one of the only countries in the world where there is no public funding of elections and parties. And, well, there is public funding, but illegal public funding of the ruling party. And the opposition finance their campaigns openly in an illegal way, receiving funding for foreign contribution donors, which is forbidden. They use also resources from the municipalities and the governor's offices. All of this is illegal, but the disproportion between the illegal funding of the ruling party and the illegal funding of the opposition is tremendous. Candidates are selectively disqualified for political reasons. Voters have been intimidated by the Lista de Tascón and Lista Maizanta. I have been a victim of this list, so I know what I'm talking about. Parties, I already say about founding, and in general terms, the election, but in general terms, the election are not meaningless. Despite all these negative features of the Venezuelan electoral politics, at the same time, election has an important political meaning. So opposition can win and actually has won important offices and important elections. So the electoral way is an open way to deal with the authoritarian features of the Venezuelan politics. But at the same time, elections are not the only game in town. There are three levels of game, of political game in Venezuela. There is a level of regime change that both the opposition and the government play. Both of them play a game of change the political regime. The government wants to impose a radical democracy according to Steve Elner or the socialism of the 20th century or 21st century. Some people say that the socialism of the 19th century. And the opposition wants to avoid the regime change, or want to set back the revolution. There is another level, which is the electoral game, in which the government seeks to legitimize the process of radicalization of the revolution, and the opposition wants offices to set back the revolution. And there is another level, which is probably one of the most important and one of the less investigated level of action of the opposition, which is the within coalition game. The opposition faces the dilemmas at the three levels. At the regime game, the opposition faces a trade-off between participating in elections that legitimize the political regime that they criticize and they characterize as a authoritarian regime. But at the same time, if they cannot defeat the government by revolutionary or insurrectional means, they have to participate in elections. So they face this dilemma. At the electoral gain level, they face a dilemma between making coalitions to win the elections or compete between them. Because at the end, as we're going to see, the opposition is not homogeneous. They have many different, we have many different opposition parties with many different ideological and political positions. So what is the best for them? Is this making a coalition or compete separately? And there is another dilemma at between coalition gain, which is what is the mechanism to guarantee or to make the agreement between parties? A political pact between national elites, a broad process of participation like primaries, open primaries, only primaries with the members of the opposition parties. What are the consequences for the people who participate in primaries if they are held? If they are held because, you know, we have the experience of the Tascón list and the My Santa Lisa. So nobody wants to participate in a process in which you are going to be identified as a follower of an opposition party. At least you are already in the list, or you write in a newspaper, or teach classes in political science, like which is my case, that you don't care because everybody knows what is your position. Well, the opposition has used many three different strategies to deal with this dilemma. At the beginning, this process between 2000 and 2001, the opposition has basically focused on elections. The opposition focused on elections. It's a little, you know, schizophrenic thing. You have to deal with two different things at the same time. So, okay. So I'm gonna pass this because I already talked about it. I just want to show some of the features of the opposition that characterize them, these parties as heterogeneous, complex, and that from my point of view, explain why it is difficult for the opposition to find a cooperative solution to their dilemmas. In the first place, the opposition is politically and ideologically diverse. We have very right-wing parties, not very right-wing, not far right-wing, not fascist movement, but right-wing parties in the coalition like Primera Justicia, Proyecto Venezuela, or COPEI, traditional party from the center-right or right position in the political spectrum, but we also have people who are even more radical from the point of view of their idea about Venezuelan economy than Chavez. For instance, we have Bandera Roja, which is a very radical left-wing party, and we have El Movimiento Humanista. And we have people who say, for instance, that Chavez is not socialist enough, and this is the reason why they don't support him. So, and all these people are members of the same coalition. It's very difficult for them to make an agreement about, for instance, programs and proposals. One of the criticisms that we always see about the opposition is that the opposition has failed to offer a program, a plan for the country. It's impossible to have a single program with this diversity. And we also have a different, not only difference in the ideological level, but also in the level of organization or in the type of organization. We have personalistic leadership and personalistic parties and strong party or relatively strong parties like AD, for instance. Besides that, we have a very fragmented party system, particularly in the opposition side. If we calculate the effective number of parties within coalitions, the PSB and its ally represent only one party. They have only one party, actually. But the opposition represents, at the national level, eight parties. You can see here also something that we were talking about in the first panel. We can see here the consequences of gerrymandering. The PUSB got 48% of the vote share, and they won 60% of the seats. While the Unidad Democrática, with more or less the same number of vote, with more or less the same vote share, gained only 39% of the seats. And the PPT, which is a victim of this process, with 3% of the vote share, got only two members of the National Assembly. And the opposition party is not only fragmented, but also is regionalized. The opposition parties have these eight parties, the stronger, the larger parties of the opposition, most of them, with the only exception of AD, are regional parties, which makes very difficult for them to make agreements. The most vote party, which is UNT, the party of Manuel Rosales, is a party of the Zulia state, basically. They won 60% of their votes, of the national vote, in one state, in Zulia. So we have, if we use, for instance, the Gini coefficient to measure the level of regionalization of the party system of the opposition, we see that the only national party is Acción Democrática, that the difference between their average vote at the national level and the regional vote of that party is the smallest, but the other party has a strong difference between the result at the national and the regional level. You can see here it's more or less the same what happened in each different state of Venezuela. And you can see the diversity of the number of parties in this region. We have regions in which the effective number of parties of the opposition is about 40, for instance, in Vargas state. We have regions in which the effective number of parties is about 4, for instance, in Aragua. But we have a strong variation between the regions about the effective number of parties in each region. That made coalition very difficult because at the moment when the political leader has to sit and make lists, it's very difficult for them to create lists that represent the diversity of each region in the list that they propose. Okay, I'm almost done. Well, it is. I just want to show that ADE is the only national party here, and I'm going to conclude with the following the following idea. The opposition is facing currently the opposition is facing currently the problem of dealing with the next national presidential elections. That it will be held in December, but the campaign already started, because President Chavez said at the following day of the legislative election that the presidential race started. So the opposition has to select a candidate. And currently, there are 21 pre-candidates. And there is a party, for instance, COPE, that has 4 candidates. More candidates than voters. I just want to conclude with this idea. This map, this list, show how difficult is for the opposition leader to coordinate the ambition of different parties and different independent candidates and politicians. So, actually, the opposition has made a lot of mistakes, particularly at the beginning of this process between 2001 and 2004. But I will say that, or five, but I will say that those mistakes can be understood if we understand the diversity of the opposition. There is not one opposition in Venezuela. It's a very diverse opposition. And it's very difficult for them to create institutional mechanisms to find a cooperative solution to their dilemma.